Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Nine Lives. Season 2, episode 14. If you are watching this episode on Spotify, you will be able to see that I am in Paris. Very exciting. I think it's always nice to do a podcast in the moment on the road. I'm sure you'll all know, but I ran Paris Marathon 2 days ago now. It is Tuesday currently, Tuesday the 9th, and I ran it on Sunday the 7th. Possibly one of the most beautiful races and medals in the world, I think. The medal is a circular design and it's got these really gorgeous golden beads, 50,000 beads on the outside of the medal, which represent every single one of the runners that took part in that race that day. And boy, was that race an adventure. It was everything I expected and nothing I expected, and it taught me a lot of lessons I didn't expect to learn, actually. I don't want to say I'm disappointed, because I'm not, because I never want to be disappointed in myself for doing something really hard and for trying really hard at something. I don't think that's fair. My aim was, and the training block I did, was to get a sub 4 hour marathon. And I missed that by 4 minutes. but 4 is my lucky number, so I'll take it, 4:04. Basically, long story short, my body cannot keep up with the demand of going faster. And this has been a really lovely lesson in staying within my lane, which a lane, I think, creates a lot of happiness for myself and a lot of joy and a lot of balance. And I think that when I try to do things like get faster, sometimes the question has to be, who are you doing this for? Because of course the training block is really fun and I really enjoyed doing the interval training and my paces are so much faster. Let's not forget, I took 20 something minutes off my last marathon. So that is a huge PB. And I'm sure that before I die, I will run a sub 4 hour marathon at some point when the conditions are better. There were a few things that happened on the course that just, it wasn't the day for it. But I'm really, really happy. I'm happy. And I think more than anything, what made me so happy was I ran the race with two really dear friends. My mum and dad were in Paris for the race. It was my mum's birthday. And to be honest, I've had a really great mental health week. And I think for me, that's really all I could ask for. And it was a nice reminder that running is so, so much more than performance and splits and speed and competitiveness. Running is really about community and uplifting each other and supporting each other. And if you've seen my little stories from over the weekend, you'll see that I ran with my friend Finn, who at the very end of the race went behind me and gave me a little push for me to finish first. And it's moments like that that really, you know, those are the life-affirming moments that show me that running is the right space for me. But it has to be on my terms and it has to feel good. And chasing speed, or chasing the speed of, let's say, other fitness people I follow who have not had the same story as me, is a detriment to my physical and mental well-being. And I have learned that lesson now. And I am very much looking forward to the next period of my life, which I've spoken about previously, of slowing down a little bit and stopping on runs to do the things I used to do, like forage for mushrooms or enjoy a lovely vista, a view, going out with my friends on picnics and long trail runs through Wimbledon Common. There'll be many really fun things to come this summer. And I'm just looking forward to a summer of joy and enjoying the moment a little bit more, because I think I've become the friend that everyone thinks, oh, well, there's no point in asking Cassia to do anything because she's always in a training block and she can't miss her runs and she's always too tired and she was always complaining or in the bath, and I don't want to be that friend anymore. So anyway, long story short, beautiful race. I'll break down the whole thing for you in the next segment of this podcast. But before I do, I just wanted to say thank you so much for the feedback on last week's episode. Those topics are never easy for me to discuss. You know, they're a little bit harder to prepare for. And, you know, sometimes I lose my bottle when I'm recording because it is quite an emotional topic. But I do know that it's something that really isn't discussed enough in female fitness spaces and male fitness spaces, you know, living with mood disorders while also trying to be high functioning in fitness, and how the two can dance together. And I've read all of your lovely DMs, and I just wanted to say, you know, a huge thank you for saying thank you, because actually it really means a lot. I put so much of myself and so much of my time and energy into this podcast, and to just have someone say thank you, you have no idea really how much that means to me. Sometimes if I'm having a bad day or I feel like it's all a bit much, just that little message is just the affirmation I need to keep going. So thank you guys so much. I'll definitely be delving more into the mental health world with hopefully some special guests coming up who can give more of an educated and professional outlook on exercise therapy and handling mood disorders and medication and all the things you want me to speak about. I hope to have experts on in the future so that we can delve into those more. So we got to Paris a week ago tomorrow. We've been here for a week. And I thought I'd break down a little bit about how the very beginning of this sort of like race prep was, how the training block went, how it was before the race and how the race went. Because I think there are lots of little lessons in that. And it's a interesting story what actually happened on the race. I mean, when is it not? You know, I think that's why I love marathon running so much. And I love hearing other people's tales of marathon races, because they are so long. It's like you're 12 people within one race. There's so many different versions of you and so much negotiation that goes on with yourself. It is just a constant negotiation between pain, joy, overcoming, Christ, I need to walk, I don't feel very well, joy, feeling strong. And you're just sort of riding this wave through. So I'll tell that story momentarily, but this training block for me has been about 6 months. I had this madcap idea of doing Paris Marathon. I suppose it would be back in August, maybe September, actually, after my ultramarathon, because I do have a habit of needing a race to work towards, because it used to really help me keep structured in my life. So I had this madcap idea, and I thought, well, I've run marathons before, and now I'd like to try to do one fast, because I've been seeing the natural progression of an athlete is I do something, I get better at it, I get better at it, I get better at it. So my idea was I would try and sub four, or at least get faster, which I did do. And the training block, the plan that I had set out with, I think I lasted a week on that plan, because the mileage was very high. The speed and interval workouts were demanding on my body, not things that necessarily I think I could keep up with if I was being totally honest with myself, but I think I was sort of pretending that I was someone I maybe wasn't, or maybe I was trying to be someone I wish I was, let's say, who is with a body who hasn't had a story to tell. And I ended up fatiguing myself pretty badly by week two or three, in which I had to then pull back the mileage and look at the goal and think, right, can I sub for this? Or are we going to aim for something else? I had a lot of travel and I've had an awful lot of career things happen this year so far, which have meant that I just haven't been able to keep up with that training block. And I think one of the biggest lessons that I have learned through this whole thing is that if my why is freedom, which it is, I run and I lift and I'm fit and I'm into wellness because it creates freedom for my lifestyle. If a training block or a race is stressing me out to the point that I then feel like I lose my freedom, that's not aligned with my purpose. So I had to have a really honest chat with myself about halfway through this whole process and think, who am I doing this for? Why am I doing this race? I'm doing this race because I want to prove to myself that I can do something and do it better than last time. And because I love marathons, you know, and I love Paris and how exciting and how wonderful. But the whole thing became a little bit dark. And now that I'm out of that, I can look back and I can really honestly say that I bit off more than I could chew. And I think that's because since I've grown as a person, I think professionally and the people that I'm friends with now are all athletes from birth. I then, because I'm in those circles, think, well, I'll do it too, you know, I'll try and be like them. And I see their incredible races online. And I think, well, you know, I want to show my community that I can also be that athlete and I can run these incredible times and look like a goddess while doing it. And, you know, anyway, it's not on the cards for me, which is something that I feel a whole lot of relief about. Because a lot of people find running, and I found running in a time before social media, before I was on social media and before I was engaging in social media. And there was this really lovely, naive sort of joy around running. It was like I had kind of discovered something for myself and it didn't belong to anyone else. And no one else was worried about it or watching and there was no one to compare to. But there seems to be this sort of idea of this one-upness from everything. You know, you achieve a goal and then it's immediately, right, what's my next one? Or, you know, you do something and then the first thing you see is someone doing it faster or someone doing it better. And that kind of feeling of like euphoria and overcoming is taken away from you and you don't feel as good about it anymore and you feel like you should always be doing something more. And I want to reconnect with the very beginning of my journey, the Cassia who was discovering things for the first time and honestly had a lot more balance. And I'm not ashamed to admit I've really burnt the candle over the last 4 or 5 months with everything I've got going on. And I'm really, really ready to reconnect a little bit with the joy that this fitness journey brought me in the beginning. And I think a lot of that is going to be about slowing down. Don't get me wrong, I'll probably run an ultra marathon this year, but in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, I find trail ultra marathons to be a lot more inclusive and low-key and chilled out than city or road marathons because it's a very intense experience and people always, no matter how much you say it's not about the time, they'll always ask you, what time did you finish in? That's always the first question. And in the back of your mind, when you're running these races through these beautiful places, these cities, you know, London, Chicago, New York, LA, wherever it is, in the back of your mind, you're always going to be thinking about the time. You know, what time? I'm at 30, Christ. Okay, what time is it? What are my splits? Like it's a time trial. And for a lot of people, that brings them so much joy. And that's fantastic. You know, look at the good for age men and women or the men and women elites. They just love it. That's their absolute joy. But for some of us who getting fast is physically not an option, it just isn't. Some people have invisible disabilities, whether that's mentally or physically, that mean that we're not in the same race. And there isn't a special lane, and I wish there was, but there, you know, there should be for us where we feel less pressured. And sometimes the bravest thing you can do is admit that you want to be gentle with yourself. And that's a really strong thing to do. It's not to say you shouldn't run marathons and do crazy things and push yourself to your limits and all of these amazing things. But I just think now the line between healthy productivity and goal setting and burnout is so blurred, especially for my generation. And I just want to make it really clear that I'm really aware of the example and influence that I have and that I set. And I really want everyone to know that if it all feels too much and you are stuck in the comparison trap, or you're watching all of these people and feeling like you need to perform like that in order to be a good human or someone who's worth anything, you know, that's not true. There are little things to be found every single day that you can do for yourself and others to inspire, to uplift, to create, to expand. There's a million other ways that you can discover things for yourself. You don't have to run a sub 3:30 marathon. However, if you want to, and you love being fast, and you are an incredible fast runner, and I have two friends spring to mind, Liz and Gabriel, who are two wonderful human beings I met at the Adidas Road to Records. They're incredibly fast runners. And their joy, and I love their content because it's so much joy around being fast. They love it. Brilliant. You know, I would never compare myself to them. They probably wouldn't enjoy doing a 3-day ultra in the desert. I really would. So, you know, because if you run 100 miles, I don't think anyone's going to ask you how fast you did it. So I've used the analogy before about the horses. You know, we're all different horses, and we all have different bodies and we all have different things that we do. I would say I'm probably like a little fell pony or a Clydesdale, probably dragging a cart along, really good at endurance. I'll just sort of get on with it for 4 days. As long as you feed me, I'll probably keep going. But there are racehorses. There are Arabian show ponies. There are, you know, there are so many different kinds of human beings, and we all move and enjoy different things. And I think it's about leaning into what you're good at physically and mentally. And I'm just very excited for it all. So anyway, right, really digress there. That was when I decided I was going to sort of slow down a little bit and take a little look at, you know, right, we'll reassess this goal. I'm still going to do this marathon. And I'm still going to try and sub 4, but we're just going to go into it with a little bit more kindness. So I really took back the miles, especially leading up to the last few weeks, because I had just started feeling, I mean, fatigued to the point that I couldn't really do my job, which is not how, I mean, you know, I'm not a professional athlete. I have a lot of different pockets of my life that really require a lot of energy, and I'm just not in a place to sacrifice that. So had to really pull the mileage back. I knew that really I wasn't going to do anything completely extraordinary, but that was going to be okay. And towards the last few weeks before we came out here, I kind of just stopped running because I was so tired. And I knew running for me is a lot of pain management. That really is what long distance, or at least fast long distance running, is. If I'm going slowly, I can run for 60 kilometers without pain. But if I'm running fast, it doesn't feel very nice. And I knew this marathon was going to be a complete battle of wills with myself. So I didn't really run in the 2 weeks leading up to it, because I knew on the day, and I'm such a, my mind is so strong. And I think the most heartbreaking thing is when you feel like your mind is stronger than your body. And actually, I spoke to a few girls at an event I did a few weeks ago about how heartbreaking it can be to have invisible disabilities that make it so that your mind is so strong and feels like it could run 100K, but your body doesn't keep up. You know, it's really, really, truly heartbreaking, and something that I'm learning to live with. Just the fact that if I ever want to perform in that way, I will have to have surgery. And will I, won't I? Who knows? It's expensive and probably quite painful. So I'm leaning towards no, maybe yes. Anyway, that's a conversation for another episode. But yeah, it can be heartbreaking. But I know that my mind and my will is so strong. I'm completely unbreakable as a human being in that way, because of all the things I have overcome. Especially being someone who overcomes addiction, I think you do just sort of have that part of yourself that is just like, once I have my mind on something, I will absolutely be doing it. And I knew that, and I'll, when I tell you the story of the race, it will be apparent, but I knew that on the day I'll do it. And that's, I have that sort of power. So really took the miles down that we came out here and we did a lovely shakeout run with some community members. So I know that you all listen to the podcast. It was such a delight to meet you all. I'm going to be doing run clubs all around the globe, wherever I go now. So I really look forward to that. But that really calmed my nerves, you know, meeting other people who were doing the race or just other people who were into running and seeing how different and beautifully, yeah, just beautifully different we all were, you know, and just see really there is no one way to be a runner. And it just calmed me down so completely. So that was a lovely memory. And yeah, thank you for coming out if you did come to that. But yeah, so race day recap. Woke up around 6 a.m., I believe. The French are very leisurely. I will say, this marathon was one of the most chilled out races I've ever done. Huge, obviously, 50,000 runners, absolutely incredible, but felt very different to London Marathon, which I ran last year, which was way too overwhelming for me. All quite casual, no barriers, but certainly 42.2 kilometers, so still definitely a marathon. So got there, felt very calm the morning of. I think I just sort of, I knew that I'd done everything I could within my power to train. And on the day, all you can do is show up and do your best. That's all you can do. And I think so many people get these real incredible nerves the day of the race. And I had a newbie running with me, my friend, and I just had to keep saying, it's just a run. It's another run. It's a training run. You know, of course, you know, it's a big race. There's medals, there's cameras, there's people watching, there's family and friends tracking you. I mean, I don't even know how many people were tracking me. It's a lot of pressure, but strip it back. Tell yourself, this is just another training run. This is just a long run and it's meant to be fun. I'm meant to enjoy this. So got there, got into the pen, started with my friends, did the first 15 kilometers with my friends. First 15 were brilliant. I felt really good. I think after about 20 kilometers, I started to flag pretty quickly, which was a bit scary. I think it's like a wave that always, when you're in these long races, you have to trust that when it goes down and you start feeling really crap, that it will come up again. And it's the same in ultra running. You could feel like death, but in the next few hours, you're going to feel great again. And you just have to get through that little hurdle and make sure that you keep eating, you keep hydrating, keep a smile on your face, keep the tunes going if you need them, keep smiling at people, keep interacting with other people in the race. Like it's about trying to just ride that wave. So around 20 kilometers, I started getting downhill quite fast. I think I was just tired by that point, which I was disappointed in because I was very fresh. I'd eaten really well. I'd carb loaded a lot the few days before. I'd had a really big breakfast. I had a good sleep. You know, everything seemed to align. And just this wall of fatigue came over me at about 20 kilometers. And I almost bottled it and psyched myself out. But I always save my music on a marathon to the half marathon. I don't listen to any music until that point because if you're breaking it down to a sub-4, which I was in my mind, a half marathon, if I do that in under 2 hours, then the race begins at 21 kilometers. So that's why what we had decided, my coach and I, Finn. So we got to the half marathon. Finn looks at me, is like, right, music in, this is where the race begins. So I so vividly remember you swung round the half marathon bit. I put my headphones on. I put the Dune 2 soundtrack in, which begins with a speech from one of the Harkonnens being like, the desert takes the weak. And I was like, I literally turned to Finn and I was like, let's finish this. Yeah, okay. So got very confident. Huge surge of adrenaline there because I'm thinking, right, I've sub-2'd this half. I can absolutely sub 4 a marathon, no questions asked. So I was flying for 6 kilometers from that point. I mean, we were hitting like 5:05 paces and I was like, oh my God, my body, it's working. I've done it. I've cracked it. It's here. I'm a fast runner, you know, it's happening. And at around, I would say 32 kilometers, I just went bloop, and I was bonking. Bonking, for those who don't know, is just basically like hitting the wall. I was eating, I was getting in enough water, everything, you know, I was doing everything right, but it was the pain of the skin on my legs, a little bit of frustration around that. I find it really hard to not get frustrated and I have to just try and meditate and be like, you know, you can move through the pain, move with the pain. So ended up feeling really nauseous because of everything and the pressure and couldn't keep gels down at that point. My stomach was just in knots. So slowed down to about a 5:50 pace. And then I looked at Finn and he looked at me and I think my face must have just been a complete picture because he was like, are you okay? And I was just gray as a sheet. And I just knew that I had to stop and jog for a little bit because if I didn't stop racing, I would have ended up on the side of the road like some of the other marathoners you see who are being cared for by paramedics. And I think at that point I said to Finn, what am I doing this for? What am I doing this for? I am in so much pain. What? So I can post on Instagram in my caption, sub-4 at Paris Marathon. Okay. Like, and through the process, nearly passing out from being hurt. That's not why I run. And I just had this like epiphany moment of like, oh my God, I just don't think I want to push like this anymore. So we slowed right down. This point we're on the trail kind of out of Paris, coming back in now. Slowed right down. Still on track for a PB at this point. I think, you know, we could have done sub-4 still at that point, maybe. And the pain just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then magically, by like 39 kilometers, I started feeling better. And at 40 kilometers, I sprinted to the end. So, and I smoked Finn. Finn was like, what are you doing? Like, where has this come from? But something just took over me and I did sprint finish the end. I mean, sprint, you know, but it felt like a sprint. It was a very fast, very strong finish. And I can proudly say that, yeah, that was the strongest finish of a race I'd ever had. And the fact that I kept going through all of that, my knee also gave in at one point, all these weird phantom things I'd never felt before. It really wasn't my race and it wasn't my day, but I think I'm okay with that. You know, I think that this was the universe's way of saying like, reconnect with your why. Ask yourself, you know, because we see on social media a lot, like just keep going, you know, pressure makes perfection and all of these taglines that people throw out, you know, yes, fine. If your body responds to pressure in an athletic, normal way, if you have other things going on, maybe it's time to look at like, why am I doing this? At what point is it just pain for the sake of pain? So I learned a lot of lessons that day and I came in at 4:04 and I could have had a tantrum. I could have started crying and, you know, but it was almost like a wave of calm came over me. I picked up the medal, had my cry over, you know, how incredible this thing is that we all do. I'm going to cry now talking about it. So that's why I love the end of races so much and the finish line of races so much, because everyone has their own little story and journey through that race course. And the most beautiful part of it is that you don't know the reason why they're running and you don't know how their training's gone and you don't know who's in their mind in that last mile and you don't know what they're thinking of what they've overcome and how they're going to get over the finish line. Like, I literally can't talk about it without choking up, but it is such an evocative, high energy experience. And I hope everyone, no matter if it's a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, a marathon, or an ultra marathon, has that experience of crossing that finish line for themselves, because really it's just such a beautiful expression of like human beings trying to do something. And race day in itself is, is so wonderful. And my parents were even saying just how beautiful it is to see a city come alive in a way that is in such support of strangers. I think now it's so easy to feel isolated and like people can be quite cruel to each other, and like there isn't much belonging or community anymore in the modern age. And if you want to see the good parts of humanity, go to a race and watch strangers hug each other, cheer each other on, making signs, holding up sweets and water for each other and helping each other. It's almost like races give you an excuse to connect with each other in the way that we're meant to. And I wish that like in society, it could all feel like that all the time, because I think we'd have a much better world. And also just to see runners and how they interact with each other on the course. You know, I've got so many stories of being out there on even just everyday runs and seeing runners in trouble or seeing someone needing something, and your first feeling in this sort of togetherness and sister and brotherhood of this community is to want to help and to want to give someone water and want to give someone some food or a hand up or to carry them over the finish line. I mean, there have been so many famous videos of marathons throughout the ages of people being carried over the finish line by their peers. And it really, really, it's a beautiful day. And so I had that moment and crossed the finish line, and I almost was relieved that I didn't sub four, because I thought, well, that's it now, you know, I haven't done it. And the real test is how you respond to yourself when you miss out on a goal. That's the real test, because if your first instinct is to chastise yourself and say, well, you know, you're shit and you didn't do what you set out to do and you missed the mark and, you know, and you're crap. If that's your first setting, I think that shows that, you know, maybe the reason why you were doing it wasn't the right reason in the first place. Because mine was, immediately I felt, well, okay, it's 4 minutes. And what is time? And how do we quantify time? Time is a man-made construct. So immediately I was just like released of this like pressure that I'd inadvertently put on myself. And I hadn't even realized how much sub four had been in the back of my mind for 6 months, stressing me out, you know, telling people, yeah, I'm going to try and sub four, you know. I just, yeah, it just all washed away and I felt this sense of calm. Finn and I sat on the edge of the pavement, you know, watching the world go by, watching all of these beautiful human beings carry their medals, covered in tears and sweat and hugging family members and like just soaking up the atmosphere, because it's such a special moment. It's so tangible and it belongs to each runner and everyone has their own little memory of it. And everyone's so proud of each other. And I think one of the most beautiful things that happened when I finished was just a tiny moment, but I was walking along with Finn and there was just this older guy holding up his medal, just holding it up. And mine was covered by my jacket, but I just sort of like took it out of my jacket and I went like that. And then he went like that and we both just smiled at each other. And then that set me off again. I started crying because I just thought that's so beautiful. Just two people who don't know each other, who have done something together and are both just acknowledging you've really done something really cool. And I just thought that was wonderful. And so Finn and I then sat on the curb and had an existential chat for 45 minutes because that's what Finn and I do. But it was one of the most, I think I'll remember this conversation for the rest of my life, because we spoke a lot about the future and what running meant and means and will mean to us and why we do these races. And Finn has done 142 marathons or three marathons now. And all of it is tethered to why. Why do we do this? Why do I keep pushing myself and why am I doing these challenges? And the landscape has really changed in fitness recently. And sometimes you have to hold your hands up and you have to say, I'm tired. Taking myself out of the race, and I have other things to give the world and society, other things to give my friends and family than a sub 4 hour marathon. No one cares how fast I run. You guys listening don't care how fast I run. My friends don't care. I might care a little bit, but I have so much more to give to the world. And we spoke in depth about what we think our futures will look like and how running will help us in longevity of life, and how one day when Finn has his little kiddies, they're going to be running and hopefully they'll be active. And I would like to continue my practice as a coach. And I mean, my dream later on in life is to become a psychologist, a clinical psychologist. That's my end game. And I would also like to be running while also running my practice and encourage my clients to run or move in any way they can. And I realized at the end of the race that I had turned a failure into freedom, because I'd released myself of the shackles of expectation I'd put on myself by just saying, I haven't done it and I love myself regardless, and I'll continue to give the world all of my gifts. And if you're listening and you're putting an insane amount of pressure on yourself to perform or achieve a goal that might be not within your grasp, just release it. You're good, you're fine, you're whole. You know, you'll still have a lovely life. And I think, I mean, it speaks a lot to what we're fed a lot nowadays about the language around productivity and how we all interact with each other and with the world. And I think that slowing down could really be on the top of a lot of people's to-do lists. And I'm not saying stop being productive, stop exercising, stop eating well, or stop building your businesses. I'm not saying that at all. But something I'd really lost in myself was my joy, like really. And I've got it back, mate. And I got it back over the last few weeks. And I'm even over the last few days felt so great. It's just like this huge weight has been lifted. This morning, I went to a gym in Paris for the first time. And I just had, you know, I have 2 days off, which I haven't had in a really long time. And I know, and also I know I catch your DMs as well telling me to take time off and saying that you're worried about me. So if you did DM me over the last few months, thank you. And I am taking time now. But I went, there was no time limit on it. I went and had a coffee. I found this really cool gym that was like a bodybuilding gym. It was all very cool. And I just had like an hour and a half in the gym lifting weights, feeling really great. And feeling like I wasn't exerting myself to the point of exhaustion, and knowing that when I got home, oh my God, I've got to think about my electrolytes and I'm going to have to just get in the bath. I'm going to be really grumpy with my fiance because I'm so, so depleted. And it's the part of endurance training I don't hear people really talk about. You are a slave to that game. And I think if you are a professional athlete or your whole identity and career is focused and hinges on you performing, then yeah, of course, that, you know, what a beautiful game. And I hope that you dive headfirst into it and you get it down to the centimeter and millimeter of, you know, nutrition and performance that you need in order to survive. But for us mere mortals, perhaps joy might be the ticket. And so this morning I really experienced that. And I walked around Paris. I didn't have much of a plan. I came across a little rainbow on the ground on a zebra crossing, which just made my day. And it was little things like that that I was missing out on when I was really tired from this race prep. And I think I'm just realizing now I'm coming out of the fog how little things every day I did start to miss out on. And this morning was wonderful. And today I feel great. And I feel like my conversation with my mates is better. I'm finding it easier to be funny and to engage. And my mind feels just clear. And how wonderful to have come to that conclusion and for it to be at the end of Paris Marathon that I did. So this is the race that I will always remember as being probably the most important race of my life, because it taught me what I didn't want. Which is sometimes more powerful than finding something that you do want, because we are fed all the time by people. You want this, buy this, do this, sign up for this. The power in saying no and saying, I don't want that. I don't align with that. I don't need that to feel good about myself. I don't need validation from others about my performance to feel solid in myself as a human being or my experience on this earth is so wonderful and powerful. And I hope that all of you have this pivotal moment that I did. Because as well, as I sat at dinner with my parents that night, they didn't ask me how fast I ran it. do you think my dad, you know, he didn't care. They just said, oh my God, Cassia, show me the medal. Let's see the medal. Oh, I can't believe you've done this. This is such a beautiful day. And we were all crying, you know. And that's the emotion behind it, is just doing the damn thing. And to have a 20-minute PB, come on. Cassia, 4 years ago, would never have dreamed that I would have run a marathon, let alone 4 hours four. Are you kidding? That's insane. That's sub 59, 10Ks, four times over. That's like incredible performance, and that is enough for me. So if there's anyone out there as well that makes you feel bad about your performance or makes you feel like you're less than, they're not your mates. Because I know so many fast runners. Becky Briggs, for example, who's an Olympic athlete. She's an Olympic marathon runner, sent me the most beautiful message on race morning, just saying, I know you've trained so hard for this. Go and dance. Enjoy every mile. How beautiful is that? And she runs marathons in 2.5 hours. Do you think she cares how fast I run? No. She cares that I'm engaging in a sport that she loves so much. And she would never compare our times because they're separate experiences and they belong to each of us. So, you know, really the only pressure that you're putting on yourself comes from you. And I think it's more than we realize. It's always this internal monologue going on about not being good enough and having to one up and not pausing to appreciate what we've really achieved. And that was a big achievement. That was huge. So I'm very happy with my Paris Marathon performance. I'm very happy that I didn't give up when I wanted to be sick and I kept going. Because the funny thing with marathons is they never get any easier, regardless of how fit you are, or how much you train, or how tall you are, or what you weigh, or what you wear. They never get easier. Everyone around mile 35 kind of meets God, I think. It's a little bit of a negotiation of wills. And I think, yeah, the great thing about being on a course is when you run past people who, or with people, let's say, not past, and they all look like they're having an awful time because marathon running is really hard. And sometimes we'll just be convinced that it's so easy for everyone, or some people just breeze through, but they don't. It's hard for everyone. And it's really all about the race, you know, begins when you start training, and the race begins when you decide you're going to work towards a goal. And that goal doesn't necessarily need to be a world major marathon. It can be anything at all in life. But it's those little things you do every day, while also the moments that you have to admit, I have to pull back. You know, I have to pull back in order to achieve this goal. Those are the moments too that count and make it a really beautiful, beautiful story to tell. And if I ever do have grandchildren, or maybe my friends have grandchildren, I hope that I can show them my medals and tell them stories of the races that I've done. And, you know, they are such palpable, powerful memories in my mind. And I think that's why I love them so much, because really all we are is the stories that we tell other people. And those will carry on down generations. And, you know, I just like to tell my stories, really. I think that's why I really like this sport. So I hope no one's disappointed. I don't think they are. I'm not. I learned a lot that day. And, you know, I hope to tell this story to my cousin and his mates when I get home. Can't wait to see him. Can't wait to see my other family members and tell them the story of Paris. And I actually know that when I say to them, what I learned was I wanted to slow down and take some pressure off myself, they'll all say, thank God, Cassia, you've been a bit of a rocket ship. Maybe it's time to orbit the earth for a little bit, hey? So self-care is going to be a bit of a priority for me. And no doubt I'll have other challenges to work towards. But I think the challenge really should be being at peace with yourself. And a lot of people don't find peace in intense race blocks. A lot of people find it very stressful. And I would encourage everyone to do something quite stressful at least once in their life, because it teaches you a lot about time management, sacrificing, you know, all of these things. I think it is it's a worthy cause. But at what point are you just hopping from one to the other because you think that's all you're worth, you know?
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help.
For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So I'm happy to be slowing down. I'm going to spend some time reconnecting with Cowboy, lots of time with Joe, loads of time with my mates. I'm going to be getting back into strength, which was my first love. So very excitingly, going to be doing some power building, power lifting, going to be working on my deadlift, my squat, my bench, which I know is harder to write poetry about. But hey, at least it doesn't make me feel like I'm gonna die. So it might be a new adventure, but I'm certainly ready to take you all along for it. Also, not ashamed to say, but I don't feel very confident in myself at the moment, because something that also I think a lot of people don't speak about is how taxing on a woman's body a marathon prep really can be. And I think people are selling a bit of a dream here when it comes to running at the moment, and that's fine. We're all trying to do our thing. But I think it's very important to remember that running and running long distances can cause a lot of inflammation. You will lose muscle. And all in all, you're going to find it a little bit harder to be a well-rounded human being in the sense of, say, if you were just doing one long run a week, a couple of short runs, whatever takes your fancy, and strength training and yoga or calisthenics, whatever it is, whatever you feel balances you well. And a lot of people will say the same thing, you know, the race block, yeah, it's an extraordinary thing to do and it's not an everyday task and it certainly shouldn't be repeated again and again and again. So that's why people feel very tired after it. And then there's this beautiful relief where you think, oh my God, I can do it. I can do other things. I'm going to try Pilates. I've never tried Pilates. So, you know, for me, it's going to be all about finding balance and trying new hobbies within fitness. You know, I really want to try Muay Thai. Really, really, really want to get into yoga, some more bodyweight stuff, but just feeling less inflamed. You know, I don't feel very myself at the moment. I've lost a lot of muscle. I've lost some weight, which is not comfortable for me. I don't feel like myself. And I know that obviously this podcast and my space online is not focused on physique goals. However, we all know I love a Lara Croft moment and I feel a little less superhero. And I'm looking forward to getting back to the way that I like to present to the world and the way that I like to carry myself. And I can't wait to grow my shoulders back. Perhaps I'll do a glute workout. I mean, God, Cribbins, we'll see. But just little things like that. I think it's going to be really nice to feel, you know, motivated and like I have these goals that are different to these massive performance goals. And then knowing me, I'll swing back around and I'll sign up for New York Marathon. No, I'm kidding. I mean, am I? We'll see. But that is my learned lessons from Paris Marathon this year. I'll never forget this trip. It really taught me a lot. And I'm looking forward to giving you guys a little bit more value because I have been quite tired. And I'm basically, with the spare time I have, going to throw myself into this podcast and reading and researching and booking guests that are dream guests and really just dedicating myself to my work here. And I think that's where I do my best. I think that's really where my power is, in trying to help others through this platform. Yeah, I think there's a lot more I could do with the time that I have, things that feel very purposeful. And running will always be a part of my life, and I'll still run every week. It might not necessarily be five times a week. It might be once. And it will probably be with a mate, and it will probably be on trail, and I'll probably stop to look at mushrooms. Or I'll do it with Cowboy. God, I miss those runs. You see, I had to give up running with Cowboy because he was too slow to keep up with my interval sessions. Like, anyway, that's what I learned. Not everyone can get fast. It's not the end of the world. I crossed the finish line, not in sub 4 hours, didn't burst into flames, didn't lose my career, didn't lose all my mates. So I think we're going to survive. So if you're out there and you're putting a whole lot of pressure on yourself to achieve a goal, maybe just look at the reasons why and maybe question, you know, is this happiness? Is this joy? Because it's a hard line to toe between doing something that's really hard and getting to the end and achieving it. And it is going to be hard and it's going to suck, because suck is also important. You know, we have to suffer to get better. I always say this, you know, doing the things you don't want to do. Yes, I've done a lot of things I don't want to do to get to where I am. And often I think we do those things and then we just keep suffering and keep putting pressure on ourselves and think, oh, well, I've got to keep doing hard things, you know, when actually I think I've worked really hard and I'd like to enjoy it now. So I hope you guys are ready for this new adventure with me where I might even have a sense of humor. Who knows? Okay, everyone, I will end the podcast there. Thank you for listening. And honestly, I just want to say thank you all for your support through this training block. I am so overwhelmed and overjoyed that you all found it such an incredible adventure to follow along with. And I do hope this ending was satisfying for you. I think you'll all maybe take something away from that that might be more powerful than just a 3:59 marathon, hey? I hope we all learned something together through this experience. And yeah, just thank you for being here again. It's just such a joy. I can't quite believe it. So thank you. I'm going to end this with, it's not a poem, but it is a saying from the Buddha. because I think it's very apt to the ending of this race and how it could have gone two ways for me and my mindset. And it goes, ego will have you crying over a closed door that had nothing behind it. So there you go. What did a 3:59 mean to me, really? Did that door have anything behind it? Or would I be sat here the same human being as I sit here before you today with a 4:04 marathon? I think I'd be the same. So, you know, we quantify success in different ways. And I think allowing yourself to quantify it how you want to is really powerful. And I still tried my best. I still went out there and had fun. I pushed myself to my absolute limits. I left everything on that course, everything. I gave that everything. I ran as fast as I possibly humanly could. And I say that with complete confidence. And that is my marathon. So thank you for listening, guys. I will chat to you next week back in my normal studio with the AMA segment in there for you too. So leave your questions, please, in the box on Spotify. Loads of love. Until next week.